And now, it's your turn with Dave Bularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Bularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Tuesday, January 23rd edition. That's what it looks like out there. This is amazing, huh? You know, we had some snow showers overnight. We had some light winds earlier this morning. But boy, within the past hour here in Butler, it's been snowing up a storm. And it's hard to believe it's not even the middle of November yet. Oh, well, we grin and bear it. I guess we've been through this before and we've survived. Lots of guests with us on the program today, and it's nice to have you with us, too. Wherever you're listening, in the car or at home on the radio or maybe somewhere else in the country online as we stream this program all over. Several students from Butler County Community College are with us on the first segment of the program today, and they are all part of the Pioneer Players, the theater group at BC3. Let's say hello to our guests. First of all, Eli Mintier is here. Eli, nice to talk to you today.
It's nice to talk to you, too.
Jacob Hecht is here as well. Jacob?
How are you doing, Dave?
And Amanda Starakis. Amanda, nice to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm okay on the pronunciation, right? Starakis?
It's Starakis, but...
Starakis. Well, thank you for correcting me.
No problem.
And you're all in the play, which is coming up. Eli, what's the show?
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Ooh, my, it's a good one. Yeah, good one.
Class.
Jacob, what are the show dates?
The show dates are November 22nd at 7:30. That's a Friday. And then you got two shows on November 23rd at 2 and 7:30 on Saturday.
That's not this weekend, but it's the next one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to get my arms around how far we are into November already. I mean, you know, Election Day is come and gone. Veterans Day is come and gone.
We're getting real close to the roaring 20s.
That's right. Yes, it's true. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about this show, Amanda. I have no idea how old this is, but there was a film version of it that starred Cary Grant, for goodness sakes, and it was decades ago. You're familiar with the show, of course.
Yes, I am. I had never really watched the movie, but I did know, I did read up on it before I auditioned for the play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's directing this play, by the way?
Michael Beck.
Did he allow you to watch the movie, or did he make that verboten?
Typically, Mike definitely tells us don't watch the movie beforehand to get preconceived notions of how characters are played. Mm-hmm. I personally agree. I mean, my mom did make me watch it, but after I got the part.
Most directors will do that if you're doing a show for which there is a movie version, you know, whether it's a musical, Sound of Music, or whatever. You don't want to copy what other people are doing, and there's a tendency to do that, you know.
Yeah, you want to make it your own.
On the other hand, it's a great film.
Yeah.
It's a great story. And the play predates the film by a long time ago. I think, Eli, you were telling me that Boris Karloff was in the stage version of this play?
Yeah, in Broadway, I believe it was like the late 30s is whenever it was in production, and he actually was going to be in the movie version, but couldn't because he had some sort of contract with like the play people that said he couldn't be in a film version.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was back in the days when there were long-term contracts for actors and actresses. They didn't move around like they do today. If you were signed with Warner Brothers or whoever it was, or with a Broadway company, that's the only place you acted, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever parts came your way. Otherwise, you were out of luck. Well, let's talk a little bit about this show. I'm assuming that many of our listeners are somewhat familiar with it. Maybe they haven't seen it for a while. I haven't. I know that. The last time I saw a piece of it was on Turner Classic Movies, and this was the film version that featured Cary Grant, a very young Cary Grant. And Jacob, you're playing that character, right?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Tell us a little bit about, give us a thumbnail plot of this this play, Arsenic and Old Lace?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but more or less, it's just about two aunts who more or less welcome gentlemen in their home to house them for rent, and then typically chaos ensues. Mm-hmm. I can't really give much else away.
And some of these gentlemen disappear.
Possibly.
Amanda, I'm guessing you play one of the women.
Yes, I play Abby Brewster.
Now, are they sisters? I can't remember.
Martha and Abby are sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who plays Martha, the other one?
Morgan Aller?
Alter.
Alter, sorry.
Now, as I recall from the film, these are older women, so are you playing older?
Yes.
And how are you doing that, with makeup or something?
Definitely makeup. I don't really know how far into detail we're going to go into it, but we are going to do makeup and mm-hmm. possibly wigs. I'm not sure yet.
I was going to say, you might need a wig because your hair doesn't look exactly like one would expect for mm-hmm. Abby to have. So, you know, I've done shows. Now, it's different for a guy because, generally speaking, our hair is not as long.
Mm-hmm.
I've done shows where they age you by putting white shoe polish in your hair. Have you ever heard of that?
We did that last show. You did it last Christian, show? Didn't we?
It wasn't shoe polish, but we used baby powder, put it in the hair.
It's amazing mm-hmm. how that works. Yeah. You may be in for that, Amanda.
Maybe.
Could be. So these two women, older women, mm-hmm. Is it a boarding house that they have? Why is it that the gentlemen come to stay there?
More or less, they offered out to rent, correct? Because
renting out a room?
Yeah, they're renting out a room in their house. It was built by a grandfather Brewster just a very long time ago. It's mm-hmm. just the house has just so been
it's
in that
a big old house.
Yeah, it's been in the house for in the family for a very long time.
And your character Jacob is a relative of these ladies?
I am their nephew.
I see. And you have a brother, right?
Yeah, I have two, actually. One is Teddy Brewster, and the other one is
Jonathan Brewster.
Yeah, Jonathan
and
Brewster.
And that's you, Eli,
yeah, that's
right?
That's me.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is Teddy?
Yeah, Teddy. He's played by our good friend Ethan Skinner. He's doing a fantastic job, by the way. Mm-hmm. But
now, is there significance to the fact that the character's name is Teddy?
Yeah. Teddy thinks he's Theodore Roosevelt.
This story is coming back to me the more we chat about it. And he tends to pop up here and there and move through a scene thinking that he's Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah. He's fairly loud and very disruptive.
Storming up San Juan Hill or something like that.
Yeah, charging the blockhouse.
How would we categorize? Is it a... I mean, it's somewhat of a mystery, but I would say, Eli, more of a comedy.
Oh,
you
yeah,
think?
Definitely more of a comedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice change of pace. We have done a lot of dramas recently, so we figured we'd lighten the mood a little bit and, you know, cheer people up a little bit.
Pioneer Players is the name of the theater group, right, at Butler
yes.
County Community College? So I assume you're all members. Do you have to be a member of the club to perform?
No,
you definitely don't. We accept any student that wants to audition.
How many shows do the Pioneer Players put on each year?
Per year? Mm-hmm. We do one in the fall and one in the spring towards the ends of the semesters.
Okay. Are all of you second-year students at BC3?
Yeah.
Amanda, have you done shows before?
I did last semester's play for Pioneer Players, The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very minor role, so this semester definitely was a big change for me.
You know, I didn't get a chance to see that. I remember talking to students prior to it, and I was anxious to see how it was staged. You were in that show?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have sets that resembled the bell tower at Notre Dame?
Yes. It was really cool to see how it came together. But
it would be a tough thing to do on stage because everybody's familiar with the film. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were actually on the towers of Notre Dame when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the roof and the spire of Notre Dame burned earlier this year. Had that happened before you did the stage play?
Yeah, it was like a week or two before the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really unfortunate.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. They've started to rebuild it, but I haven't heard any updates yet. I would imagine that's
I didn't even hear about
in abeyance now with the bad weather setting. We're not the only place, by the way, getting an Arctic blast. Parts of Europe are pretty cold right now, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Either of you two guys in that show?
Yeah, I was Phoebus in it. It was a good time.
Jacob?
I was just a soldier in that show.
Never say just a soldier. Sometimes those are important parts. Yeah. So anyway, when did you start rehearsal for this show?
For this show, we started around the end of September.
Mm-hmm. It would take a while, I would think, to put a show together when you're in school, because your workload is going to be greater than it was when you were in high school, Amanda.
Definitely.
Is it difficult to make time for rehearsal and doing a show?
Sometimes it can be a little difficult, but I've managed so far, so I'm hoping it stays that way.
Hoping you can keep the grades up and still have fun doing a show, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have a major at BC3? What's your major area of study?
I'm majoring in computer support.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So that will lead to a job somewhere in IT, internet technology, you hope?
Hopefully, yes.
Now, will you need to go on to a four-year school, or do you think you'll be able to get a good job with an associate's degree?
From the research that I've done, it seems that I would be able to get a job with just an associate's, but I would like to possibly look into getting my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure yet, but...
Well, you could possibly do both, you know. You could start working and then continue on getting your bachelor's maybe over a period of several years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Jacob? What are your plans for the future? Because you'll be graduating from BC3 as well come spring.
My trajectory is more towards actually next fall. But right now I'm more or less just majoring in general studies, and then I plan on transferring. I've always been interested in police work, potentially something in that field.
So criminal justice?
Possibly. I'm still figuring that all out personally. I personally want to be able to do a job that, yes, I love, but I also want to be able to have time to do like all kinds of acting stuff on the side, because mm-hmm. it's my passion. As soon as I found it, I just can't imagine my life without it.
Yeah, I've talked to a few students, three or four of them anyway, who have been studying criminal justice at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Apparently, I have a pretty good program down there.
Yeah.
Check that out. What about you, Eli? What are your future plans?
Well, I am a secondary education major, more specifically like English secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of next semester, I'll be transferring somewhere and working towards my master's.
Any idea where that transfer might take you?
I'm thinking IUP right now.
And you would be teaching?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be teaching secondary, so that's 6th through 12th.
And any particular discipline within the secondary schools?
English, as of right now. Mm-hmm. I've always liked literature, and I think it'd be fun to teach.
Excellent. I need to take a break. We'll chat more with our students, all students from Butler County Community College, all members of the Pioneer Players that are going to be presenting one of the classics of the American stage, there's no doubt about it, Arsenic and Old Lace, coming up a couple of weekends down the road. We'll chat more with our guests here on It's Your Turn right after these words. Be right back.
From great breakfast specials to hosting holiday parties, Michael's Restaurant is the place to be in Butler County. Start your day with a satisfying breakfast, then begin planning a holiday party at Michael's. They have a party room for approximately 20 people for Christmas parties or family get-togethers. Call today to reserve your date. Pumpkin pies and apple dumplings are now available.
Central Electric Cooperative wants to remind you that safety should not take a holiday this Christmas season. Hello, I'm Matt Boshaw, CEO and General Manager for Central Electric. Here are a few tips to consider when planning for this year's festivities. Inspect electrical decorations for damage before use. Do not overload electrical outlets. Switch to LED decorations that use less energy while offering greater safety. Keep live trees fresh by watering daily. Protect cords from damage by never placing under carpets or securing with staples. Unplug all decorations before leaving the house or going to sleep. Keep a safe distance from your home's overhead electric service when hanging decorations. Do not place decorations on utility poles. This is a danger to you and to our linemen. Central Electric Cooperative wishes everyone a safe and blessed holiday season with family and friends. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My personal safety goal is to ensure all of my coworkers and I make it home safely each night. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on this wintry Tuesday. Believe it or not, it's only November 12th. It just looks and feels like January 12th, even late January. It's brutal today. Guests with us on the first portion of the program today from Butler County Community College, three students, all members of Pioneer Players and all in the cast of the upcoming production of Arsenic and Old Lace, which was a stage classic decades ago here in the United States. At least one film version. I don't know. There may have been a couple of movies. Eli's shaking his head. You know, the only one I know of is the Cary Grant version.
That's the only one I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Bits and pieces.
You're not going to say it with Mike sitting here, huh?
No. I was interested to see, like, what the character that I'm playing, Jonathan, looked like, in essence, too. I like to do a lot of, like, things with my face when I act. Like,
oh, yeah?
Like bring out a lot of emotion, and I was trying to, like, see how it was done and also get a look at, like, how they do, because Jonathan gets frequent plastic surgeries, so he has an interesting facial structure, to say the least.
Do you two guys have to age as well? Do you have to play much older than you actually are?
I personally don't. Mortimer's about 20, 25.
It's more the two women, right?
Yeah, it's more or less the two women that really need to be aged, Abby and Martha. Me and Jonathan grew up together, so...
It's the older brother, so I might need a little bit, but
a little
not
bit.
A lot.
Not too, nothing too extreme.
Let's talk a little bit about the staging of this show, because there are some special places that are needed, as I recall, from the productions I've seen. So... You must have had some tech people, some carpenters building secret places or something like that. How are you going to pull that off, Jacob?
Well, first of all, I am grateful for everyone that's helped building the set, Tyler Miller especially. We're actually in the middle of building set right now. We started yesterday, is that correct, Eli?
Yeah.
And in terms of pulling it off, it's just a matter of just them building the locations that we really need. And just
it all takes place like in the... sitting room or the living room of the house, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's no outdoor scenes or anything.
Yeah.
But you need places to hide the bodies, so to speak, right?
Yeah, there's a few little places that the viewers will be able to find once the show begins.
Have you guys had fun doing this show? Everybody's smiling. It looks like you have. Huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it is a hoot, no question about it. It's one of those things where... you know, if you tried to describe the show to somebody who had never seen it, you know, they would say, that's a comedy, you know. It's kind of like one of the Rodgers and Hammerstein's musicals, Carousel. It's a very popular one. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not. But it's a dark show, you know. Man falls on his own knife and dies and goes to heaven and then sends a star down to his little girl. This is a musical? This sounds really happy, you know. Of course, it's ridiculous. But and this show's kind of the same way. You know, if you were to describe it to somebody and say, and that's funny? Yeah. But it is. But it is. So you've been rehearsing since September?
Yeah. Yeah, a few times a week.
I was going to ask how often.
Yeah, as of right now, it's like 2 days a week, but we try and just see like when everyone in the cast is free from classes so we can try and get as many people as possible there.
I would imagine that it's a little bit more difficult with Butler County Community College not being a residential school because not everybody's on campus at the same time. Mm-hmm. So generally... evening rehearsals where you have to come back to campus, or?
We aim for more like mid-afternoon. Normally try and get like around the end of the day when people are finishing up classes, so like before they go home, they could stop by and do what they have to do.
Mm-hmm. Are there other principals in the cast who are not here today that we should mention? You mentioned Amanda, your sister, is it Martha? Is that the character's name?
Yes.
And who's playing that role?
Morgan Alter.
Okay. Anybody else? The three brothers, obviously.
We got Dr. Einstein, played by Eric Homa. And then we got a few cops. We got Elaine Harper, played by Ashton Huff. Then we got her father, Dr. Harper, who is also doubling as Officer O'Hara, Jack Baldoff. And then we got some officers, Brophy and Klein, played by Samantha Tanner and Elizabeth
Reddick Sadum.
Yeah, you would know that, wouldn't you, Eli?
Yeah.
We got our student director playing Mr. Gibbs. And Lieutenant Rooney is played by Mickey Elmer. And finally, we got Shane Denial, played by Mr. Witherspoon, played by Shane Denial.
What about costumes? Has that been a difficult thing, Amanda? Because you're playing an older woman and at an older time, because this is set quite a long ways back.
It's been pretty, so far it's been pretty, not difficult, but it's been kind of, they've been trying to find different pieces to put with different skirts and such for the older women. So
I mean, you're not going to be able to pull something out of your closet here and wear that. That's not going to happen.
No.
Guys, maybe.
We're a bit easier.
Yeah, because you can wear, just coat and a tie or something like that, whatever.
Yeah, suit or just... I mean, that's the way it kind of is now, but...
Women's fashions change much more than men. Mm-hmm. They cost more than men's fashions do.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you were born a guy?
It's nice to have pockets on clothes. It's the one thing I've noticed, women's clothes never has any pockets. Or if they do, they're not, functioning pockets.
Do you need a large sound and light crew and running crew for this?
Uh-huh. No, we don't. But we definitely need a lot of props for this show. Logan Wintley, who is also our treasurer of the club, has taken up the role of gathering all the insane amount of props that we need for this show.
I recall that now from thinking back to the movie. I've only seen this show on stage once, and it was a long, long time ago. I've seen the movie a couple of times, the Cary Grant film. Let's talk a little bit about you folks. Eli, where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school 1 year at Katanning Senior High, but then it consolidated with Ford City and became Armstrong Junior Senior High.
That's right. Katanning High School is no more, huh?
Yeah.
And what about you, Jacob? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Seneca Valley School District.
Mm-hmm.
Large school.
Yeah, big school. Did you do any stage work when you were in high school?
Some lights. I more or less dove into more acting when I got out of high school, but I dabbled in a couple shows here and there.
What about you, Amanda? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Kiski Area High School.
Did you do theater in high school?
No, I was actually in the marching band, but I did always want to audition for the plays, but I just didn't have a lot of time to do it. So I'm grateful that I got the opportunity to audition for BC3.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Pioneer Players was started by the late Margot Pitts. I don't know whether you've ever heard that name. Margot's been dead for quite a few years now. Mike Beck, the director, is with us here in the studio. He's shaking his head. Did you know Margot? Or you heard of her? Yeah.
No, Dave. I never actually had the pleasure of meeting Margot. We feel strongly that she's still with us at the theater, though, because... just different things happen, you know what I mean.
That is very well put. She was kind of the grand dame of theater in Butler in her heyday.
Yeah, she was.
Involved with the Butler Little Theater Musical Theater Guild. She was the managing producer of the Silver Fox Playhouse in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And she started, because she was on the faculty at Butler County Community College, and she started the original drama group. She thought that there should be an opportunity for... BC3 students to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, it was Margot that came up with the name Pioneer Players, too. So,
It's evolved a little bit. It used to be Pioneer Acting Club, but we wanted to make sure that we were going to encompass all of the tech crews and everything that we need as well. So we've changed the name a little bit over the years to Pioneer Players, so that includes all aspects.
Good idea. And, of course, when the group got started, there was no suck-up theater.
No.
So this shows had to be staged at what's now Founders Hall.
That's correct.
It used to be called the Convocation Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stage there, but it's not much of a stage, and there's no fly system or anything like that, so it's very difficult to stage.
No, they don't have any lighting or sound reinforcement for that stage, so it's really nice to have the opportunity to have the Suck-Up Theater to be able to afford these students the opportunity that we can.
I can only think of how Margot would have been pleased to see that theater, you know, constructed before she died. Arsenic and Old Lace is the show that the Pioneer Players are doing. So you'll be doing another show in the spring, is that right?
Yeah, we'll be doing another show in the spring. I'm going to turn this over to Eli because he's part of the script committee.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to ask how you decide what shows to do.
Yeah, we run a little bit of a script committee where we accept submissions from club members until a certain date, and then we get together and like look through, and we try and list like pros and cons of each show and make sure the show meets like the proper cast size that we have, all that good stuff.
Well, that's good. That's good. Do you know what you're going to do in the spring yet, or is that still kind of up in the air?
Not yet, but we're hoping to know by the end of the semester.
So who suggested Arsenic and Old Lace?
I actually submitted that last script committee in the spring. It was one of the first shows that we found and we're like actively looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good show. It's a fun show, that's for sure. There's no music or anything in this show, is there? I'm trying to remember.
No, I don't think so.
No, just a gazillion props, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everyone's got their own little array of tools, per se.
And doesn't Teddy have a trumpet or something, too, that he plays all the time?
Oh, yeah. Forget, does he actually know how to play it, or...?
Teddy or himself or talk about Ethan.
Talk about Ethan. Does he know?
No.
He does make him practices. We don't necessarily have it yet, but he makes a little bugle sound every now and then.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, the poorer it is, the funnier it is. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't want somebody on there that could really play it well. It wouldn't be funny. Yeah. Has it been difficult getting timing right for this show? When you're doing a stage comedy, timing is just so critical. I mean, you know, if you get off by half a beat or so, then you lose the audience and it's not really funny. Eli's shaking his head, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's once we've got our lines down, we really get a lot more work done on the like timing of everything and make sure everything plays right.
Pick up the cues, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been able to make new friends among the cast and crew as you've been rehearsing, Amanda?
Definitely. Honestly, whenever you're backstage and you're going through the rehearsals, it just gets easier and easier to make friends with everyone because like something happens and you all just laugh about it, and it's a really great experience.
There is a camaraderie that develops when you're doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get into the last stages of rehearsal, which you guys will be within the next few days, it, you know, gets a little antsy. You get a little nervous, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you finish, then it's kind of bittersweet, you know. Okay, I've got time to do all the stuff I've been putting off, and I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to be with all these people again.
That's why we always look forward to the next show.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. We always
true.
Do.
That's true. Do you try out for shows on the Pioneer Players? I mean, are there auditions?
Yeah, we have auditions. Normally, we try and get them like the second or third week of like the semester, just so we not only have enough time to practice, but we have enough time for people to get settled into their classes.
Well, let's go over the details again as we wrap up here. Arsenic and Old Lace on stage at the Suck-Up Theater. Jacob, go over the dates and the times for us again, please.
All right, November 22nd, a Friday at 7:30, and then the next day, November 23rd at 2 and 7:30. Tickets are $8 for adults, $5 for students. You can purchase them online at bc3.edu/suckuptheater, or you can call 724-284-8505.
Mm-hmm. Multiple ways to get tickets, and they should be available at the box office, too, on the
Yeah, they're available.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Arsenic and Old Lace, a classic, a true classic of the American stage. Pioneer Players are going to be mounting a production of it a couple of weekends down the road. Cast members with us here in the studio today to chat about it, Eli Mintier, Jacob Hecht, and Amanda Starakis.
Starakis.
I got it right that time. My last chance, Samantha. Nice to have you all here. Mike Beck as well, who's directing the show. He's on the staff at Suck Up Theater. All righty, we'll take a break, and we'll be back to talk more on the Tuesday edition, the wintry Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
Undoubtedly, the most influential band of all time was the Beatles, with 20 number one hits. Experience one of the top-rated Beatles tribute bands, A Hard Day's Night, at Tanglewood Center on Saturday, November 16th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner buffet by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. Only $35. As always, it's BYOB. There's no doubt why this group was invited to Liverpool, England, to perform during International Beatles Week. For tickets, call Tanglewood at 287-0021.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Need to get out of town? Check into Butler Motor Tours. They can get you out of town in style and in comfort on their big luxury cruise buses. Have you checked out their website lately? So many exciting trips coming up. Check out butlerbus.com and find out where they're taking you next. They have trips all over the country. They'll even help you set sail to maybe the Caribbean. Casino trips, historic landmarks, all across the country. No driving, no handling luggage, entertainment, and most meals all can be put together with no worries, all in an inclusive price. Call Butler Motor Tours today for more information, or again, go to their website, butlerbus.com, and check out all of the exciting trips. They especially take care of you around the holidays. Seriously, no better way to travel than Butler Motor Tours.
Welcome back, listeners. Great to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We're going to be talking about model railroads on the next segment of the program. Two guests are with us. Dick McCandless is here in the studio. Dick, nice to have you here.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having us.
And also joining us by telephone today is Bill Humphrey. Bill, you can hear us okay, right?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, nice to have you with us as well. Dick, let me talk to you first. There's a big train display coming up. Tell us about it.
Well, our two-story building has an O-gauge layout for kids to push buttons and run trains, an HO layout to for kids to run trains. We have a snack bar. We have a gift shop and a library.
Now, this is the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum.
Yes, sir.
Bill Humphrey, where is that located?
It's located in Richland Township off of Route 910 by Route 8. It's 5507 Lakeside Drive, and you can check out our website at www.wpmrm.com. www.butlercounty.org.
And which?
Or you can call at area code 724-444-6944.
And Richland Township, just for people who aren't familiar with that, it's just over the Butler County line, right, into Allegheny County. It's not very far south of Butler at all. Yeah,
that's correct.
Do you, Bill Humphrey, do you put on this display every year at holiday time?
Yes, we do. This is our 32nd year that we've been putting on a display.
Oh, my.
Of course, model railroading is never quite done. It's always fix and repair and, of course, always upgrading. Uh-huh. And thanks to Dick this year, he put in a bunch of little tiny lights on a new model and a house that was built. And things look very nice this year.
Is the holiday train display already open, Dick?
Yes, sir. We started Saturday.
Oh, wow.
And we're open every weekend, Friday evenings, Saturday and Sunday. Friday evenings, 6 to 9, Saturday, Sunday, I believe, 11 to 5.
Well, I guess now that I think about it, we're just over 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, so holiday season is just around the corner, huh?
We're also open every day between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Do you know when the display will shut down after the holidays?
January 12 is our last Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, Sunday, I believe.
Well, that gives us lots of time to go down and visit.
Yes, yeah. Come and see us.
Bill, what's the admission charge to get into the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum in Richland Township?
It's a requested donation of $5 for children 12 and under and $10 for adults.
This has been a work in progress, Bill, I guess then probably for 32 years, right? It's a heck of a lot bigger now than when you started, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. Our display upstairs is 4,000 square feet, going from Pittsburgh to Cumberland. And by the way, with it being so cold outside today, you can come and visit the display on this Friday, and it'll be a nice warm 72 degrees as our display is set in July 31st, 1952.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, I'm intrigued by your description here. So this display actually covers the territory between Pittsburgh and Cumberland, Maryland. Did I hear you correctly there, Bill?
That's correct.
Wow. That's a long ways.
We use what we call selective compression because no matter how big our 4,000 square foot seems to people, it's not big enough to show Pittsburgh to Cumberland, Maryland, which is about 125 real miles.
Mm-hmm.
And with 60 feet in HO scale is a mile. Scale mile, HO mile, we certainly can't fit everything in the 4,000 square feet. So we have all the highlights, the Smithfield Street Bridge with trolleys as they ran in the 1950s. We have lots of scenery that is very familiar, Ohio Pile, the Narrows in Cumberland, Helmstetter's Curve in Cumberland, Myersdale in Pennsylvania, Rockwood and, of course, McKeesport. And we are currently working on redoing the steel mill that was along the parkway. And speaking of the parkway, of course, the summer of 1953, the parkway was under construction. And that's what we're showing on the layout.
Wow. How did you pick 1953 as the time that your layout would be set?
Okay, there's three big reasons. The first reason is the fact that in 1953, there were still steam locomotives running.
Mm-hmm.
About 25% of the motive power was steam locomotives, and the rest were diesels. Second, it was still the transition period from the time of the heyday of steam and steel into the more industrial revolutionary age when things were going. And the third and very most selfish reason is the fact that 1953 was the high point of the Lionel Christmas layouts at Christmas, which is where we have our layout at Christmas open, because in the 50s, this was a very big tradition that you would go to your neighbor's house or your friend's house, especially the boys, to see someone else's train layout.
That's true, and Lionel was probably the most popular of the model trains at that time. Are most of your rolling stock, Bill, is that indeed Lionel Trains, or do you have other other brands?
No, it isn't. In fact, the most popular scale today is, like Dick said, HO, which stands for half of O.
Uh-huh.
1/87th of full size, and it's the more realistic HO today is still very much toy-like and has a lot of toy features, and in the 1950s it was very toy-like. We do have a very large Lionel display downstairs, which has all kinds of interesting items on it, including a flying saucer trying to abduct a cow from a farmer's field. It's so very interesting that this brings back everything from the items on this layout from the early days of the 1920s, the early days of model railroading and Lionel, all the way up to items, like I said, the flying saucer. And there's lots of nice little things, Thomas and a bunch of engines and hunt and seek that the kids can play and spot figures and so on.
Let's talk a little bit about scale again. So the Lionel model trains were larger scale. They were too big for what you're doing?
Oh, yes. They're very big. They're about twice the size of what we're doing, and it is much more, it is easier to use HO scale because that is the one that is the most popular scale for modeling today.
Mm-hmm.
And, whereas Lionel is 1/48th of size, and it is more tin plate. Besides, true Lionel has three rails, whereas we are definitely two rail. And we run the whole display by what is called DCC, Digital Command Control. So we've had people come in from the actual railroads industry and go, oh, yes, that's just how we run railroads, to the point where one lady who worked for worked down in Conway said, oh, told her husband, I'm going downstairs. This is too much like work.
Conway, of course, is the huge train yards, railroad yards in Beaver County, I believe, right? Isn't that where Conway?
That's correct.
Yeah. Dick McKendless is correct. With us here in the studio. We're talking with Bill Humphrey via the telephone today. Bill mentioned you were busy during the past year doing some electrical work in one of the model buildings. Tell us about that, Dick.
Any of the new houses or store buildings that are built, we evaluate where to put a light on the outside, put lights on the inside, show details on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
There are various ways of lighting. Larger buildings use strip lighting. Smaller buildings just use a tiny LED. And we can do the crook neck shade lamps that are more prevalent
A street lamp or something?
For on the outside of a building.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I do that as the new buildings are custom made, and they're actually made from photos or buildings that are actually in place in these mm-hmm. towns and between Pittsburgh and Cumberland.
Bill, who constructs these historical buildings? You must have some specialists that do this.
Well, like Dick said, he's the specialist on lighting. We have people who they go say, I'll build this building or I'll build that building this year. And then they take photographs, which were taken many years ago, or even go down today and measure the buildings. In fact, it's interesting. People go down and go, why are you measuring this building? Well, because we're building a model of it. Oh, okay. To the point where we've actually had people whose buildings we are building on the layout have come up and said, can I take pictures of this? Because that's where I own that. And wow. I'd like to, where we get persons say, that was my house when I was 3 years old in Rockwood. So we have people who do that, just as well as we have people who do things on engineering. In other words, all the computerized stuff and the track laying and the signals and so on.
What are the buildings made out of? Wood, balsa wood, or styrofoam or something like that?
The buildings are made out of plastic. In fact, some of them are actually 3D printed, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But we have they're very detailed buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, they're, when all the ornate brickwork up at the top, that's reproduced, the windows, the correct windows, the sizes, such that people can recognize, oh, that's that actual building, or this is that. Such as we have the P&LE station, which is Station Square, and everybody goes, hey, I recognize that. Smithfield Street Bridge, same way. It's made out of styrene and pieces of metal and so on.
I guess I have to make sure that I'm up with the times. I forgot about the possibility of using 3D computer work to come up with plastic models. So you have the capability of doing that now, Bill?
Yes, we do. In fact, I just wanted to tell you that this coming weekend, we will have our 3D printer. They're making a little building that if people want, they can come and buy that building, because you're going to be able to watch it built, and then later on in a few, you know, whatever, when it's finally done, you can buy it in the gift shop.
That's fascinating.
All right, such that you can actually see how we do stuff, because, yes, we do print very special items, such as the little dwarf signals. These were the signals beside the railroad track that showed what the switches, the direction of the switch for the engineers, so they could determine whether there was time for them to go because the switch was in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are almost impossible to buy, so the fellows designed these in three parts that they can have Dick put an LED light in there that could go from red to green, and it's three parts, and once it's all done, it's glued together, and now, gee whiz, we can print hundreds of these if we want it.
How do you get the lights in there without them being seen? Do you have to crawl under the display and poke them up from the bottom, Dick?
Yes, well, or you attach them or fix them to wherever they're going on top, and then you drill a hole under the structure or
get into the power supply.
So you drop the wire down underneath and hook it up to a resistor and a power supply.
Are you an electrician or just a fan of model trains?
I was an electronic technician.
Ah, okay. So this is indeed your specialty, huh?
Yes. And as I was touring the museum years ago with the kids, I said, I should come here and volunteer. So after I retired in 14.
Yes, in fact, one of the items that Dick has done is one of the houses has a flashing LED that looks just like an old-fashioned television set from the 1950s.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah. It's in a little box, and there's people sitting on the couch. You can see them watching.
Incredible detail. Wow.
That's what I've always been amazed at in this museum, is the detail.
Did you have a model train when you were a kid, Dick?
Yes, I did. It's upstairs.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bill? I'm sure you did, didn't you?
I did, and now that's why I belong to the museum, because I now belong to a group that has a 4,000-square-foot Pittsburgh to Cumberland model railroad, so why should I have one of my own?
How many members are there in the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum, Bill?
We have about 80 members, and out of those 80, we have about 35 to 40 that are very active, such as Dick and myself and quite a few others.
Mm. You probably work on this almost year-round, I would imagine, huh, to get ready for the holiday display?
Yes, we do. We spend I won't say every working minute, but pretty much every Thursday up there, day and evening, to work on stuff. In fact, believe it or not, we're already planning for the spring model railroading classes, as well as what we're going to be doing next year, such as in the steel mill area. They're working on what types of railroad track switches, in other words, where the track, you know, diverges from one track to two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out where all that can be worked out.
Well, I know, and folks around here in the Butler area would understand that from the what's now AK Steel, formerly Armco Steel.
Yep.
A lot of railroad track within that huge plant, so that would be pretty complex. Boy, I can remember when I was a kid driving down the Parkway East, and there were a few spots actually coming in Route 30 and then getting onto the Parkway where you could look across the Mon River and see the steel plants, firing away that red glow, or they would be dumping the slag, and you could see a thing. So you've got that depicted, Bill Humphrey, in the display? That's amazing.
Yes, we have the steel mill that was along the Parkway. that you and I remember. And, of course, the parkway's being built, the steel mill was there, and Second Avenue, and the trolleys, and we're working out and coordinating how all that can be put together to figure it out. For many years, we've had a huge display of the steel mill, but it did not work. We've decided it's now time, because this is a very big project, to put that all under construction, reconstruction, to make everything work in there, not just simply look nice.
I'm trying to remember. I think that was J&L across the lawn there. Yeah. Is that what it was?
It was J&L.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, listen, we have to take a break, but I want to talk more with Bill and with Dick. We're discussing the 32nd annual holiday train display that is now open for viewing. It opened this past weekend at the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum in Richland Township, just off Route 8. It's actually on, did you say, Bill, that it was on 910? Do I remember that correctly?
It's on the corner of Lakeside and 910.
Okay. Okay, we'll take a break and be back to talk more with our guests here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, right after these words.
They're back! So don't miss another night of raucous musical comedy when Connecting to Tomorrow hosts the Piano Maniacs for an encore performance. Saturday, November 16th at the Lindora American Legion. Tickets $20 each and the proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring programs. Doors open at 6, music starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21, food is available. Get tickets at the door, Butler County Radio Network, or Eventbrite online. And join C2T for some dueling piano fun.
When you or someone you care for needs skilled nursing and or physical therapy, Concordia Visiting Nurses can help relieve the stress you're feeling and put your mind at ease. Concordia Visiting Nurses professional services bring the best in expert care right into your own home. If your doctor prescribes home health care upon discharge from the hospital or from his or her office, please choose Concordia Visiting Nurses.
Welcome back. We're talking about the 32nd annual holiday train display that is now open for viewing and will be open through mid-January at the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum in Richland Township, just south of the Butler County line into Allegheny County. Bill Humphrey is visiting with us by telephone, and Dick McCandless is with us here in the studio. Bill, you mentioned during the break that we ought to talk about the Lego displays this year. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have some special items. Like I mentioned, the 3D printer in the earlier segment. We have a gentleman that approached us that he works in Cranberry, and his hobby was Legos. And he would like to put a display on it. We said yes, and we've worked it out. So the weekend before Christmas, in other words, not this weekend, but the following weekend, as well as the weekend of Thanksgiving, he will have a kind of a carnival type of thing set up in Legos,
mm-hmm,
with a train around it. Now, this you can't touch, but you can look at. But what we have seen so far of what he has done, it's absolutely amazing. Just like then the day after Christmas, the 26th through the 31st, will be a Christmas Lego town set up, roughly 3 by 5 feet, extremely intricate. We were very impressed with what he did with a train running around. So we have that. And then, of course, the 3D printer will be back in after January for one weekend for people to see what's going on.
How many trains generally, Bill, do you have running at any one time?
Now, that's going to be hard to answer because they're on schedules.
Oh, I see.
What I mean by a schedule is the fact the train may be parked, and it's scheduled to run every half hour. So it'll start on the half hour and come back in and stop and wait a half hour, or they will continue around. We have the capability of running almost 40 trains.
Oh, my gosh.
Scheduled. Yes.
Wow.
And they will run average anything from an engine and a couple cars, or a single RDC, rail diesel car, which is a self-powered passenger car, and it'll go back and forth, or it'll circle around, or this one will take that. But at any one time upstairs, you will see as many as, let's say, 20 trains running, or as little as 5 or five or six of them, depending upon just how the schedules are set up, which is where we've said people go, oh, my gosh, this is just like the real railroad.
Well, we were talking about the incredibly intricate detail that Dick McCandless has been involved with, even arranging in one of the model homes what looks like a flickering TV in the living room that he rigged up with an LED a light. You were telling me during the break, Dick, that one of the individuals involved with the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum is building a coaling station. This would be where a train would stop to load on more coal for the steam engine?
Yes, yes. And he also built a nice house, which in the future will be connected to an actual icing platform. He does his work in wood, small pieces of wood.
Coaling station would be pretty complex if it's going to be working, you know.
It's very long. It must be at least 5 feet long.
Because this required
it's more more like 10 feet long. The model that was actually in Glenwood at the time period where they pushed the hopper cars up on top of this wooden trestle area and then dumped the coal in, and then they would load the coal in from there into the steam locomotives.
Huh. That would be something to see in modeling. That would be an awful lot of work for somebody to build something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It took them almost a year and a half.
Wow. I have to squeeze in one more break here, but I want to go over the hours of operation and when folks can visit the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum. So stick around. I'll be back to cover that and wrap up with our guests in just a minute or two. Be right back. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home. Welcome back. We're chatting with Dick McCandless and Bill Humphrey from the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum. I wanted to ask you, Dick, about some of the things that people can see if they visit this holiday display. Ohio Pile, because the train, when it ran from Pittsburgh to Cumberland, Maryland, would go through.
Yes.
Ohio Pile. That must be fascinating to see, that modeling job.
Yes, it is. A very, like I said before, very fine detail. And we have the famous falling water up on the hillside.
Oh, wow. And if you're going to Cumberland, Maryland, there's got to be mountains and gaps and stuff like that.
We have a guy gone over the waterfalls with his boat stuck up out of the water, and he's trying to survive.
Wow. I just can't imagine how intricately detailed this is. It's just got to be gorgeous.
Mm. You got to come down and see us.
Yeah, indeed. Bill, let me ask you as we wrap up here today, once again, for people who may have joined us late, you can visit the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum. It's what, Fridays and weekends? Or go over that for me, Bill, because I'm a little confused.
Okay, yes. Friday evenings from 6 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays 11 to 5. Then the Black Friday, we have an evening also such that you can visit us from 11 to 9 at night. Then there's a special hours between Christmas and New Year's. Those days, that the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th, 31st, from 11 to 5, and that Friday between Christmas and New Year's is also a long day. The 27th, from 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And by the way, I should tell you is the fact that on Friday nights, we do something a little different. We dim the lights upstairs, and call it Steam at Twilight, so we kind of roll the clock back and a lot more steam engines.
Wow. And
speaking of dimming lights, we actually have a day-night cycle that you can see when things are working.
That would show off Dick's lights, too.
Yes.
I can remember when I was a kid, my brother and I always used to do that. When it got dark, turn out the lights and just run the train.
Mm-hmm.
We just had one little Lionel. 40 trains, for goodness sakes. Folks, this is a gigantic display, 4,000 square feet, and it's all set authentically in 1953. And the reason for that, as Bill explained to us earlier, that was the twilight of steam. Because after that, there just weren't any more steam engines running. What a display. And, Bill, one more time, the location of the Western Pennsylvania Model Railroad Museum for our listeners.
The actual mailing address is 5507 Lakeside Drive. It's located on the corner of Route 910 and Lakeside in Richland Township. It's about 1.5 miles off of Route 8.
And it's really not very far from the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Butler Valley exit of the Turnpike.
Mm. That's correct.
Yeah. Bill Humphrey, thanks for being with us today. I know it's a little tough when we're on the phone, but we'd appreciate it. We appreciate chatting with you today, Bill.
Thank you.
And Dick McCandless, great to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is just such a great treat over the holiday season. I'm sure
yes.
A lot of people will want to see this between now and
People that come back year after year.
I can imagine. Well, there's always going to be something new added, right?
Something a little bit new, yes.
Alrighty, that'll wrap up our program for today. Folks, don't forget Penguin Hockey tonight here on WISR live from New York as the Pens take on the New York Rangers. Airtime for Penguin Hockey here on WISR tonight is 7 o'clock. Hope you can be with us tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department.